Right now, President Trump has pledged to put America's tradespeople to work on new federal construction projects. The administration's proposed $1 trillion of infrastructure spending could do just that. But with more construction comes the job of making sure workers are paid what they're owed. A new report from the Center for Public Integrity finds that despite federal protections, some building contractors find a variety of ways to shortchange their workers. Getting those wages back can sometimes take years. Mariam Jamil is a reporter on the labor and environment team at the Center for Public Integrity. Mariam, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about the scope of the problem? How common does wage theft in construction work seem to be?
You know, that's a pretty hard thing to say precisely because we have the numbers that the Department of Labor finds as far as what they actually went out investigating and where they found violations, but they're only able to go to so many work sites and people are only coming forward so much. It seems you're getting a small representation of what might actually be happening. When the Department of Labor has more investigators, you see more cases coming to light. And sometimes when workers are given more information about their rights, you see more cases coming to light. So there are a lot of factors that kind of change what the public actually gets to learn about that I don't think necessarily reflect what's actually happening, if that makes sense.
Let's talk a little bit about the term itself, wage theft, as it applies to construction work. What is wage theft?
So wage theft is a term that's used basically for when a worker of any sort is given less money than they are legally owed. So in construction work, when it comes to government construction work, there's something called the Davis-Bacon Act that says that if this is a project that the government is funding or assisting in some way with the funding of, if it's over $2,000, which a lot of these projects are, they go into the millions, then workers are guaranteed a specific wage. So the Department of Labor kind of figures out a prevailing wage. So basically, there shouldn't be a ton of guesswork in terms of what an employer is owing their worker. So wage theft can mean that they are, say somebody is a plumber, and so under the Davis-Bacon Act, that means that they're owed, you know, $18.50 an hour. But their employer, for some reason or another, decides that they're going to mark them as general labor. And so they pay them, let's say, $13 an hour. Or, you know, they might not pay them proper overtime. Or sometimes the worker doesn't know all these different categorizations under the Davis-Bacon Act. There's, like, a lot that goes into what exactly someone should be owed. And there are ways that an employer can pay less without having that be obvious to the government or to the worker. And sometimes employers themselves can even be ignorant about, you know, what exactly they're supposed to be paying. The Davis-Bacon Act also says that you owe a worker fringe benefits. So that can mean, you know, that can mean retirement savings, that can mean health benefits. And I've definitely heard various workers and people who work on labor enforcement saying that the employer will just tell them, like, oh yeah, you have a retirement account and we're putting part of your wage into that. But that ultimately isn't true, and those things get kind of complicated to get a good understanding of sometimes, even as far as your own wage and what you're owed and to keep track of. So,
well, let's talk about a specific example. This is an active case, as I understand it, of the U.S. General Services Administration building.
Yeah, so in 2011, the General Services Administration renovated its headquarters, and one aspect of that was asbestos removal, which is, like, workers need to have training to know how to handle asbestos, which is something that is very dangerous. It can cause cancer. And so they hired, over the course of about a year, more than 100 workers to do this. They had a contractor who hired another contractor who then hired a staffing company to get all these people in. So it was a really murky employer relationship. Anyway, a lot of these workers, they didn't know what their classification under the Davis-Bacon Act was. So they were supposed to be skilled laborers. This employer said on paper that they were general laborers. They underpaid them by about $10 an hour, which adds up quite quickly. And there were all these workers who they didn't quite know what they were owed. They didn't know if they could speak up. It was a mess. There was also there were also discrimination complaints involved. It was like a really messy job. But all of these companies that were employed and involved in this were ultimately employed by the government, receiving government funds. So basically, these workers eventually complained with the help of a union. They pulled their case together, and 127 workers submitted a complaint to the Department of Labor in 2011. And sometimes these cases take a while to actually process, and then, you know, maybe the employer will have a different opinion than the workers do. So in conclusion, unfortunately, that case is still open to this day. So these workers whom the Department of Labor has decided are owed over $600,000 are still waiting for their money. The employers have contested the case, and so they say the workers aren't owed quite that much, or some of them say they're not owed at all. So 6 years later, a case with the Department of Labor is still open.
We're talking with Mariam Jamil right now from the Center for Public Integrity with us to talk about the problem of wage theft in construction and the difficulty of enforcing labor laws. And let's get into the enforcement aspect of it. As I understand it, this is the Labor Department and the Wage and Hour Division. Do they have the capacity to stay on top of this?
You know, I would say they do and they don't. They're consistently understaffed. They consistently ask for more. Under the Obama administration, they would consistently ask for more funding to get more investigators to just period be able to process more cases, go out into the field and find more cases, because they do a combination of things. They take complaints, but they also go about their own investigations that they initiate. So having spoken with people at the Department of Labor and former employees, a thing that I often hear is that they're understaffed. At the same time, they're never going to be able to police all the businesses in the country. And so another important thing that they do is try to educate employers on what the law is and educate workers on what their rights are.
Now, at the end of the Obama administration, the Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces rule was put into place. Can you tell us a little bit about that? That rule, it's no longer in effect. President Trump dismantled it, but what was it looking to do?
So Fair Pay and Safe Workplaces was focused on making sure that if the government was going to contract with companies, that those companies weren't also with labor disputes open against them, or with a really, you know, bad labor record. And when I say bad labor record, I mean maybe they've had multiple instances of wage theft. Maybe there have been occupational safety violations against them. There are labor relations cases open against them, equal employment cases, things like that. So this law basically said that each agency is going to have staff in place who are well-versed in labor laws, who can help the contracting officers at those agencies see, like, okay, this is what this company has on its record. There are some things that need improvement or some things that are outstanding. How do we go about helping them be in compliance and still hopefully not debarring them or forbidding them from contracts, but reaching, like, a place where you're actually solving the problem and not just looking the other way? And from what I understand, the goal was to create a higher standard for labor and kind of set the example as the government, as an employer, for the companies it chose to employ. So that law is no longer. It was disbanded in March. It barely went into effect. Basically, one little aspect of it went into effect for a few months, but there was also a lawsuit against it by a couple of trade groups. One of them was a construction industry group, actually, that said aspects of it were unconstitutional. So it was very controversial, and it may not even have survived if the current Congress and President Trump had chosen to undo it. So yeah, there were measures taken in the past few years to try to curb this problem, and they are no longer in place.
And Mariam, as we wrap up, just briefly, what is the outlook like for stopping or addressing the problem of wage theft left under the Trump administration today?
Well, the Trump administration has its proposed budget out, and its budget for the Department of Labor does not look to cut staff in particular in terms of wage and hour enforcement. It's basically proposing to keep the levels of funding and staff that were given to the latest to this current fiscal year that the Obama administration asked for. So they have not been particularly loud about saying, hey, we really want to increase our enforcement budget. This is a huge problem. We want to crack down on employers. That was more the line of the previous administration. But they're also not saying we want to gut enforcement staff. They're basically currently just asking for a little bit more funding to focus on compliance assistance, which they definitely have voiced wanting to be more sort of friendly to employers. They're, I think, more open to employers that are trying to say, like, hey, don't just hit us with fines. Work with us rather than cracking down on us. We might see enforcement get a little lighter. I think they're going about having a different attitude towards enforcement. They're more business friendly, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we'll see weaker enforcement since they're trying to maintain the same budget as before.
Mariam, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Mariam Jamil, labor and environment reporter at the Center for Public Integrity. She was with us to talk about the problem of wage theft in construction and the difficulty of enforcing labor laws.